This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد I'm back again in this beautiful beautiful place which is the Ashley Reservoir, and today there's a lot of a fair number of gulls, seagulls. We are not too far from the ocean here, so it's not surprising. I'm not sure that there is that much of fish in this place, but obviously there is something that they are here for. But what? It's a beautiful morning, very cold. But as you can see, the sun is out and it is so clear and it's absolutely beautiful. SubhanAllah. My friend Sheikh Khati is also with me walking. He's behind me, he's talking to somebody. He's from Morocco, so he speaks in Darija. And listening to him speaking Darija, which is an Arabic dialect which is spoken in Al-Maghrib in Morocco, you won't believe how fast they speak. We talk about the speed of speech. Oh, I'm giving you a little bit of more of a close-up of these trees. As I mentioned in the last reminder, we are a bit late and the leaf has fallen. The green you see is rather evergreens, so they don't shed their leaves in the winter. Some part of the forest remains green, the rest of it, all the broadleaf trees, they shed their leaves. And we see this khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day is a new creation. Every hour is a new creation. Every minute is a new creation. Quite literally, because, and also infinite variety, because nothing is ever repeated. No two sunsets are the same. No two sunrises are the same. No two views of nature are the same. Everything is unique, and everything is different. Very, very beautiful way. And subhanAllah, there is this one tree here which stands sort of uniquely by itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khudrat and his incredible creative power with which he creates, and the purpose of that creation is that we recognize him. If we don't worship gods of our own creation, we don't worship our desires, which is the biggest god that we worship today. It's not even, we are not even in the age today of predominantly idol worship, because even people coming from idol worshiping religions like Hinduism and so on, the more educated ones and so on, have left their religion. They don't follow it anymore. They don't go to temples. They don't do puja and stuff. But they do nothing else. It's, you know, there are, many of them are atheists. So, and the reason is the desire. We are all ibadul hawa. We are the worshippers of and the slaves of our own desires. Protect us from that. The important thing to understand here is that when we say desire, it's not a blanket statement, because there are desires and desires. So when we say hawa, in this case, with a very clear negative connotation, we mean desires that take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because after all, somebody wants to be close to Allah, this is a desire. Somebody wants to spend his time in the zikr of Allah, this is a desire. Somebody wants to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to make pray nawafil more, pray tahajjud, he wants to read Quran, he wants to understand Quran, he wants to get close to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, he wants to make Hajj Umrah, he wants to give charity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. All of these are desires. And obviously these are good desires. So if you say if you find yourself you are a slave to the desire to make zikr, alhamdulillah, this is really the desired objective, which is the desire to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is through his zikr. As I'm speaking to you, I'm seeing a whole flock of river terns. look it up, T-E-R-N-S, who are skimming the water. Many of them drink on the fly, where they skim the water and they drink from the surface of the water. And of course, all of these are the bird which eat fish. There is a pair of ospreys in the air. I'm waiting for one of them to dive and come up with a fish. The absolute king of fishing eagles is the osprey. O-S-P-R-E-Y. Look that up as well. There are some absolutely fantastic videos of ospreys fishing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a kind of wing, and the way that wing moves, the shoulder muscles, what would be shoulder muscles in human beings, the movement of the wing is very different from the movement of the wing in other species. So the ospreys, by the way, they of course have a huge wingspan, and plus the way they move their wing, it gives them enormous lift. So you have these videos of ospreys taking out fish which are many times their weight, because it's a bird, it needs to fly, it's not heavy. But the fish that it pulls out of the water, it's big heavy fish which the ospreys pull out and they fly off with them to feed their young, to feed themselves. When they catch fish also, they dive. They literally dive. They go underwater. They're not swimming underwater like cormorants, but they're just diving straight down. And in principle, what takes them down is the momentum with which they strike the surface of the water when they stoop, which is the term used for the dive of the eagle or the hawk or the falcon, where it folds its wings and turns itself into a missile, into a missile. And that takes it down deep underwater. The amazing eyesight of it, it's not diving randomly and then hoping that there is a fish at the end of that. It's diving to actually catch a fish. So it's a targeted, focused dive. Which means that from way, way, way up in the air, sometimes several hundred feet up in the air, this bird sees a fish. And as you know, when you're looking at something underwater, there's something called parallax error. The refracting of light, where the light changes the angle of light, meaning that the fish is not where you see it. It's off to one side. So the bird automatically in its brain corrects for parallax error and dives onto the fish, which is underwater. So it dives, goes down there and grabs. And those talons are razor sharp. They're connected to muscles which, when they lock, that's it. There's no way the fish can break out of that grip. And of course, one or more of the talons will sink into, or all of them practically sink into the body of the fish. And because they are long, quite possibly one or more find the heart. So it's amazing. It's subhanAllah, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this bird comes out of the water. Its natural buoyancy, the buoyancy of the feathers and so on, bring it to the surface, and then It's the beating of those wings. It is a sight to see the beating of those wings and how those wing beats lift it out of the water with the load it's carrying and take it off to where it wants to go. I'm looking here in the distance, a whole bunch of lily pads, and now of course with the, because of the winter, the flowers have all died. The lily pads are still there, but they're frostbitten. But in the distance is a whole flock of geese, Canadian geese. These geese here, I think, are resident. I have to, of course, check it out through the winter and see what happened. But my guess is that they are resident here in this place because of the abundance of food. Normally, they would have gone, flown south by now. The whole point of these, in my walks and the like, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the tawfiq and the ability to come here and thank some other friend of mine. There's a friend of mine who's the head of the Unitarian Universalist Church here, who I come with sometimes to walk, and we also discuss religion as we talk. But interestingly, the Universalist, Unitarian Universalist, their belief about Isa alayhi salam, they believe that Jesus Isa alayhi salam was a great scholar, he was a pious man, a teacher, and he was human. And they believe in the brotherhood of all humankind. So I, when he first told me this thing, I told him, he said, "You're Muslim, you just don't know it." he had a good laugh. So dua, inshallah, he's a very nice man, very good man, very pious man, very kind heart. Thank you. Mashallah. Islam in his heart. Brothers and sisters, I remind me of myself that at the end of the day, when we meet, we do them all the time. And every time I do it, I put myself in that coffin, in that janazah. Because one day it will be mine, whether it's here, there, wherever. And I remind myself, and I ask you to warn yourself, that one day this is what will happen. And then you've heard this old story so many times, but Allah, maybe it sinks into our hearts, into our minds, and manifests itself in our actions. And that is that only and only Allah and us. There will be no third person there. No one to do anything for us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because even the shafa'at of Rasulullah is with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the shafa'at of Rasulullah, we ask Allah for this, we beg Him to grant us the shafa'at of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we believe about the shafa'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as He told us. He said, "Allah will permit me." And we ask Allah to permit Him to make shafa'at for us, inshaAllah. And all of that will happen depending on one thing only, which is our iman wa amal, faith and deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our focus on that, not on how much we accumulate, but how we accumulate. But that is what will go with us into our graves, not our wealth, but the way we acquired it and the way we, and where we spent it. Our decisions will go with us, not the material. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيم.